Central.
Greenlight on.
With Dan Malicki.
Big show coming your way on Greenlight on this afternoon. Some of the biggest names in the sport, Emma Stewart, Andy Gath and Gary Hall Jr. will be joining us in the next 40-odd minutes. But let's welcome in the team. Dan Malicki, good afternoon to you.
And you too, Gareth. You've got the stars on today. Pretty important show. You're flexing your muscles a bit.
Well, it's a big weekend, and I thought we'll have a chat to some of these superstars. And Adam Hamilton joins us now. Hello to you, Adam.
Yeah, afternoon, Dan and Gareth. Great to be on with you, and looking forward to finding out from some of the biggest names in our sport about some of the best horses in our sport in this part of the world. And but it's not just about Victoria this weekend, is it? We've got fantastic racing right around the country. I think Queensland's done a wonderful job salvaging feature racing after the mess that was the middle of the year, and a similar story in WA with the WA Pacing Cup coming forward around about sort of a month on what it was last year.
So it's a terrific weekend of harness racing, as you just pointed out, Adam. We've got Friday night, the WA Pacing Cup, and terrific meeting at Melton on Saturday night. The Catch and Fly, I think, goes around at Menangle on Saturday night as well. And then, you've got that carnival really heating up in Queensland. And Colt 31 takes on a horse like Cruise on Saturday night. But I don't think I've ever seen Colt 31 go any better. But we'll have a chat about that a little later on. Our first guest here on Greenlight On is leading trainer Andy Gath, who joins us now. And boy, he's got some representation at Melton on Saturday night. Good afternoon to you, Andy. Welcome to Greenlight On here on RSN Central.
Yeah, thanks, Gareth.
First of all, Majestuoso, how did he pull up from that Group 1 victory last week?
Yeah, no, he put up really good. Again, he's probably come a long way maturity-wise and everything, but yeah, no, he's put up really good from that race, and looking forward to racing him again in a fortnight.
You've got some strong chances there on Saturday night, and we might just go through race by race, if that's okay. Ragnar gets its chance from barrier number 3. Your thoughts there? In fact, barrier number 3 in race number 2.
Yeah, he probably he's come back well from a spell this time in. He hasn't missed a place. He's a really nice, honest horse. He probably needs a few things to go his way to be a winning chance, but he has got reasonable gate speed and sort of he's never far away. But yeah, he finds a winnable race there on Saturday night.
Having a look at Swiss Miss in race 3, just jumping in, Dan. Didn't get a lot of peace in front last week, but inside back row, a different situation this week.
Yeah, she was probably on face value, even though she got a lot of pressure last week. She was a little bit disappointing in my mind. She times weren't that flash, and yeah, we're probably just a little bit too easy on her in between runs. So she's had a solid week this week. We expect to see the real Swiss Miss front up, saying that it's a lot harder race and a lot more difficult draw. So, but again, I think she'll be at her top. And if things go right, she showed that she's pretty lethal with the sit.
Did that flat tie have a major impact on also the way she finished off her race last week, Andy?
Probably not too much, Dan. It sort of happened late in the race. I think Wombo wasted when he's looking for a run. So, you know, she was firstly, the race was sort of over when it happened. So I don't think it had any impact on it. But yeah, just a thing. You know, probably going the race a little bit underdone and, you know, copped a fair bit of pressure. And, yeah, she, you know, probably just off a little bit too, just might have had a bit of an off night. But, yeah, I expect, but she's worked, been really good this week. We've worked her pretty solid and she seems really sharp, so I expect to see the real one this week.
Does Kate probably tell us the story here in race 5? She's decided to drive 2 times better over the dude that's come up with barrier number 1 in race 5?
Yeah, it's probably a tough one. Just with the Vic Red coming up, she'll drive 2 times better throughout that series. She's sort of given it most of its life. But, the dude's probably got a better winning chance in my mind from that draw. He sort of went pretty good last start. Only time he's gone bad this time, and I think when you backed him, Gareth. So,
yeah, that won't happen again. Don't worry.
So, he's a nice, honest horse. He needs a good draw to be a winning hope, and he's got that good draw. So, again, you know, probably one of the winning hopes, but you obviously need a soft lead or you know, things to go right to be a really good hope, but yeah, I'm expecting to run top 3 from the draw.
Andy, Caduceus Club, 3-year-old cup, it's never easy from where Pacifico Dream's got to come from. I'm sure he's as good, if not better, than any horse in the race, but it's just always so hard from outside that back row, isn't it?
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, he's had a couple of runs from that draw and hasn't been able to win from that draw, you know, and both been terrific run. So when you draw there, you need a really fast lead time, and you know, I thought the gods a little bit, but you know, he's running the Breeders' Crown, was probably as good as anything in the race, and you know, still couldn't finish top three. He ran the fastest last mile, I think, in the race, and went terrific. So it's just so hard from that draw, but he is a quality horse, and is probably a drop down in class for what he has been meeting lately. So expect him to run well, but you know, it's going to be hard.
Very interesting, Mary Zeidel, Trotters Free for All McLovin. A, where's he at? But he's going to end up most likely drawing barrier one. Monaro Maro's in the race as well. And be interesting to have your thought on what's the better chance between Anton and Jack's Dance Craze and Always Ready, because you know Always Ready's beat Majestuoso a couple of times lately. So your horses first, and then maybe your thought on Always Ready stepping up to the older horses.
Yeah, obviously, McLovin's figure form doesn't read that good, but they've all been from back row draws and in really fast-run races, where those two great mares, Dance Craze and Red Hot Tooth, have been able to find the fence and run really solid times, so it's been hard for him to get into it. So, you know, he's been crying out for a front row draw, and he gets opportunity here and has got pretty good gate speed, McLovin, you know, to sort of hold his own. So whether he comes out of one or two, I expect that to go pretty close to leading. Obviously, if the emergency comes out, he's got Dance Craze hard up on his back, you'd expect so. And we know how fast and how good she is, so she's a quite hard horse to hold out. Monaro Maro, she's going well. Again, she runs a lot of really good races off the fence. And, you know, it's going to be the same again this weekend. She's not going to be, I doubt she could find the fence, especially with McLovin drawn inside her. So you're going to have to do it tough. So probably hampers her winning chance a little bit, but she's going well. And of the two, Anton and Jack McKinnon horses, again, Dance Craze, we all know how good she is and what a great horse she's been. And but, yeah, Always Ready. Have huge respect for him. As you said, Majestuoso, done 2 seconds to him. Monaro Maro ran second to him at Kilmore. He's a quality horse with a great record. And, yeah, he's going to be a horse of the future going through. And, yeah, it's probably going to be a little bit difficult for him this week from the back row draw. But going forward, in 12 months' time, he's going to be up there as one of the leading trotters, I'd say.
So, Andy, a wonderful night there for you, hopefully on Saturday night. Diamonds and Cash, would he be one of your better chance later on in the program, drawing barrier number one?
I'd say so, from the barrier draw. Yeah, he's got opportunity of leading. We were sort of pretty keen to lead last week and sort of got a fair bit of pressure from Greg's horse on another masterpiece and Culture King out wide, so Kate ended up handing up. Yeah, again, I think this week he's a good chance of leading himself and probably a drop down in class compared to last week, depth-wise. Yeah, he's been knocking on the door and had much luck lately, so hopefully this is his opportunity to win one.
All right, a couple of questions for you before we let you go. I want to know what Kate's best is over the weekend and then your best over on Saturday night and also during the week, especially at Bendigo. You've got some nice chances there tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'd probably stick with Diamonds and Cash. I think he's going really good. Unless you get Emma on and she says always fast is the best chance, then I'll change it to out of Mariners at Bendigo. But I think Kate's best drive over the weekend is probably Beach Music in that Phillies race, but it's not very big odds. So, yeah, I don't know. We always disagree, so you might have to ask her which is her best.
All right then, mate. Hey, thanks for your time as always. Your team's flying at the moment. We wish you the best of luck.
Thanks a lot, guys.
There is Andy Gath, and now we're joined by the state's leading trainer, Emma Stewart, and they've got a big team in once again on Saturday night there at Tabcourt Park, Melton. Good afternoon to you, Em. Thanks for your time. You're with Gareth Hall, Dan Malecki and Adam Hamilton.
Good morning. How are you going?
Good, thanks. Beach Music, as Andy Gath pointed out, she's got plenty of ability, and she's the short price favourite in that two-year-old fillies race to kick off proceedings on Saturday night. How's she trained on?
Yeah, really good. She had a few little issues, hence she missed the Breeders' Crown with her feet, but everything's been good with her and she's worked super this week, so she'll be awfully hard to beat.
Having a look over to the youthful for the two-year-old Colts and Geldings race four, Emma, Ideal Dan, two out on the back row. It's not an overly strong race.
No, it's not, and I really like this fella. He sort of can mix his form a little bit because he's a little bit green still, so you know, I think his draw probably will suit him, and I really think he's a good chance. I quite like the colt, actually.
You've got Struve Emma. Interesting first up. I mean, he's a pretty smart horse. When last prep, we got a really good glimpse of to what sort of ability this horse has got. He was a bit more consistent. So, and in the same race, you've got Two Times Better, who I'd have to think has been just that little bit disappointing for you this prep.
Yeah, she has, but she tends to do that. I think the more racing she has, the better she goes. She doesn't really work great at home, and I think she's a little fat thing. So I think the more racing she does, the better she is. So we'll try to just keep her racing more consistent. And Shrew's a lovely horse. He sort of, we had trouble with keeping him consistent as well, but last time in, he was a lot better, and I think we've sort of worked him out a bit now, and he's working good, and he trialled well. So I think he'll run a really good race.
And in the Caduceus Cup for the three-year-olds, you've got three runners. Well, two at the moment, and Crafty Bart's an emergency. But Crafty Bart, if he does gain a start, he's first up from your stable, and I've watched him trial a few times. Boy, he's got a motor. How has he impressed you since he's arrived in your care?
Yeah, he has. He's got a few little tricks, and we sort of haven't probably got him straightened out as much as we'd like right now. But I really like him. He's got a motor, and I really think he's one that's going to sort of get through his grades pretty good. We've just got to sort of straighten him out a little bit more. But if he gets a run, he'll definitely be thereabouts. And, you know, my other two in that race go quite well as well. Can't top this. He's been going terrific. He had no luck last start. And Carlos Matt, he's a nice gelding as well.
In the fast class race, Emma, four big men's drawn really nicely in gate two. Code Black is the class runner in this race, though, isn't he, even though he is drawn out wide?
Yeah, he is. You know, he's sort of been a little bit luckless in his last few starts, and we really have a big opinion of him. And when he can sort of get close enough and not have to do too much work, you know, he's real deadly and he's really fast. So I love Four Big Men, and I think he's going terrific. But if Code Black's sneakily close, you know, he's going to be hard to hold off.
And Always Fast, Emma, back to his favourite trip. He's very much a short course horse. 1,700, it looks ideal for him. I imagine is it the Mercury Series? Would he be aimed at that again?
Yeah, well, he won it last year. So you're right, he loves a short trip and he's awfully hard to catch in front. So, you know, his form's been really good and that's what we'll sort of be aiming him for.
All right, then. So you're going to take on Andy. He believes that Diamonds and Cash is his best chance on Saturday night, Em. Who do you think your best chance is there on Saturday night?
I'd say Code Black.
Okay. And, geez, on Thursday night, are you enjoying training these trotters? Like Cover of Darkness was superb during the Breeders' Crown. Bangles, she was unlucky in her final. And then Utopia, that won his consolation, gets gate number one. Your thoughts there, Anne, with those three trotters on Thursday night?
Yeah, well, they're only trotters, and we're lucky enough that they all go pretty good. So, you know, they've been a lot of fun to get going, and Clayton's done a terrific job with them. I sort of haven't got the patience. But Bangles is probably my favourite out of the three of them, and I think she's a filly on the up.
All right, then. She's drawn barrier number seven, and Treachery makes her way over to South Australia for that race series over there, and she does look tough to beat in the Southern Cross.
Yeah, she does. And she travelled back well this week, and, you know, Globe Derby sort of suits her. She's been there a few times now, so she'll be awfully hard to beat, I think.
All right, Em, we wish you the best of luck. We appreciate your time. Oh, sorry, Adam.
Just before Emma goes, Ride High, I understand he either has had or he's about to have another scan, just for a bit of a progress update, Emma.
Yeah, he had his scan last week, and it wasn't as great as what we were hoping, but nothing majorly wrong. It's just going to take a little bit more time than we hoped. So he's still ticking along here doing his rehab, and he looks terrific, but it's probably going to be a little bit longer than we thought.
Thanks for that update. And just before we do let you go, I know how appreciative the family of young Tilly Wilkes was when you had her out The brave, courageous and inspiring young girl who was behind the name of Tough Tilly. The family said they had just a wonderful few hours out with you. You know, in your busy schedules, I think yourself and Clayton deserve a pat on the back for that. But it must have also been uplifting for you guys.
Yeah, it was, because we've always known the story behind her and why she was named. But to actually meet Tilly and her aunt, you know, it was really good. And the horse actually misbehaved quite badly, so it didn't go to plan, but he had a great time. And, you know, I think it sort of gives you a different perspective on things, and it sort of breaks things up a bit. It's not only about racing, you know, there's always people are doing it hard, and if you can do little things to help them along the way, you know, we're more than happy to.
Well, good luck, Em. It was terrific stuff, and your stable's flying at the moment. It's been terrific what you've been able to do with Tough Tilly, and I love that photo that was posted there the other day I saw on social media. So we wish you the best of luck this weekend, and, go and get them.
No worries. Thanks very much.
There's Emma Stewart there. Gary Hall Jr. will be joining us shortly. But on Saturday night, Dan, having a look at those early markets, that Caduceus Club Cup for the three-year-olds is a fascinating affair because they bet $31, the Emma Stewart trained three-year-old that was the first emergency. Of course, Crafty Bart, he's now into $5.50, can't cop this at $4, and Carlos Mack at $5. So I think the punters thought, well, he won't start $31 if he does gain a start, and if he doesn't, well, they'll get their money back. But he's into $5.50 now, and also the big mover was Pacifico Dream, 10 into $4.20.
Yeah, well, he's the proven performer, isn't he? Look, it's a race that's got a lot of depth. My favourite, Jillaby Nitro. I wouldn't give up on him just yet, Gareth, because I think he might...
He was disappointing last week.
Well, but he might be better sit sprinter, okay, because he looked impressive and much sharper coming off the pace. And I reckon with a second-line draw, don't give up on him. He's never missed a place in his career, so... I'd be happy to have something on him, but it's a race of much depth, no doubt about that, and interesting the move for the emergency Crafty Bart.
I think it's nearly... I'd be backing Crafty Bart and can't cop this, Adam.
Yeah, look, it's an interesting one. There's no doubt Crafty Bart's got, you know, a lot of untapped potential, if you like, but it still is a step up. I'm not surprised by the support for Pacifico Dream. You know, everything about Pacifico Dream's form from bad draws has been really good in better company than this. It's a really, really challenging race for mine. I think the draw's been a leveller. But you're right, if Crafty Bart gets in, may well start favourite.
Sound of Cash is an interesting horse. He's a trotter. He's bred to be a trotter, owned by Yabby Dam Farms, but he's a pacer. Now, he was unlucky. It was a big run in the Breeders'. Oh, she was unlucky. She was a big effort in her Breeders' Crown Final, Dan. She was climbing over the back of them, but the problem for her is that she's just got no gate speed, and she's drawn barrier one.
Still get a soft run, though, and it looks she's going well. She might be a place chance, Gareth. I mean, it's a race of a lot of depth, isn't it? It is a Group 3 race, but I think it's a really good race on the back of some terrific Breeders' Crown racing. There might be something emerging out of the pack. There's enough winning form in the race. Pacifico Dream, I think, is, even from the draw, still deserving to be favoured, I would think.
Yeah, I think he's been mighty, but that's, as Andy pointed out, it's tough to win from outside that second row draw, especially over the 1,700 and 2,200 metres at Melton. Hey, Adam, were you surprised that Monaro Murray came up favourite in the Murray's Idol?
Yeah, absolutely baffled.
Really?
Baffled by that one. I think Monaro Murray's a talented trotter on the up, but new to this sort of company. So, I expect it to be competitive, but, I was very surprised it came up favourite. It's a really tricky race to work out, though. Look, if you knew for sure McLovin was going to lead and Dance Craze would camp on it, Dance Craze would probably just win for speed. Nothing wrong with Tough Monarch's run when you consider the work that he had to do last week in those blistering splits when Majestuoso was over racing in front, but still found a way to keep going. So, you know, there's a lot of ifs, buts, and maybes about this race. But just in the current market, I'd probably be playing Tough Monarch at around that 650 mark, guys.
I'm keen on one here, guys. I'm really keen. I'm prepared to put my head on the chopping block to a certain extent.
Okay. Drum roll,
I reckon Always Ready. I reckon Always Ready should be favourite.
Right,
I reckon he's the emerging horse. I've seen enough of the young horses, the 3 and 4 year olds, and they're just better than the older horses in the trotting ranks at the moment. And I was thinking to myself, Jason Lee's got a very difficult decision to make, if indeed he makes that decision. And it wouldn't surprise me if he went with Always Ready, and he has.
All right, then.
Yeah.
So is that confirmed? He's definitely driving Always Ready.
Yeah, it is confirmed. So, Yep, he's aboard Always Ready, and virtually straight off the back of that, a few other people must have had your same mindset, Dan, because $7 into $6 after the drivers were confirmed for the Maori's Idol, Always Ready. So it could still challenge for favouritism, although I think Dan's craze will start favourite. She is the proven one at this level. But, yeah, oh, look, there's no doubt when you consider, you know, the potential of Always Ready and that form through Majestuoso, like, it looks so much better again after last week, doesn't it?
And I even give a chance to a horse like a Sundon's Courage, who made a big mistake there last week in that group one from the stand. But since Ryan Duffy's taken over the driving duties there, I think this horse has been going great guns, and he's got a tough draw to overcome, but he's at a big price at $21. And even Gus and Murray, that defeated Dance Craze fair and square their last start, is at a big price there at $14. I was surprised, Dan, that Code Black didn't come up favourite in the open class event.
Who came up
favourite? Four Big Men was $1.80. I think $3.20 you could get for Code Black. Yeah.
$3.40.
Code Black deserves to be favourite.
$3.40. What was that, Adam? $3.40. Yeah.
$3.40 into $2.40. Four Big Men $1.75 out to $2, and all the others have been drifters apart from Rishi, who's been 12 into $10.
This Code Black's race, really, this is his opportunity to win one. He's very consistent, but I don't think you'll get a much better opportunity to win a fast class race again in town than this.
Yeah. And even in that first race, I made it as my lettuce leaf on in the gig, Adam. And I need a little bit of value just to make sure that I defeat Brittany Graham. And I've taken a bit of a punt on Saturday night. I'm with Eva Mateo. I know Beach Music's very good, but she's short at $1.28. I think Eva Mateo leads over the 1,700. And even though she's had her problems, Beach Music, and if she turns up and, say, races at her best, I know she's only had the three starts, she probably just gets Eva Mateo. But I'm willing to take the punt now into $8 for that filly, Dan, to cause a bit of an upset in that opening race.
Yeah, it's an interesting race with Beach Music. She's a lovely filly. I really like the look of her. But even Mateo, typical of the Peter Manning horses, they just can go through a prep and they can have a lull and then pick it up again. And she's got good gate speed. Lance Justice is probably the other trainer I know that can sort of do that. A horse can have a bad patch and it can train through it. So she's going good. Just for interest's sake, I had someone ask me a couple of weeks ago, what on earth does lettuce leaf mean? I know if you're having a sansoy bow, it holds in all the stuff. But what's the meaning of lettuce leaf?
That's a very good question. I don't know, Adam, do you?
No, I don't. I mean, my assumption was that it might be because a $100 note looks like it.
I think that might be.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. It is, because $100, that's what you get to play with each and every week. What's your best at Melton Saturday night, Adam?
Oh, geez. I'm happy to go with Ideal Dan after that push we got from Emma. I think $3 is very backable in what I think is a pretty thin race, guys.
Dan?
Always Ready. I was going to tip it as my each way special anyway. And to be quite truthful, I'm prepared to tip it as my best bet of the night. I'm shocked at the price. I'm surprised at the price. And as I said, it wouldn't surprise me now that he does run favourite. But to be fair to Dance Craze, she should be the favourite on her her great form and career.
I'm loving your work, Dan. You've always been a great judge, but since you won that Herald Sun competition in the media, you've really got a spring in your step, really, and you've got that little bit of arrogance about you when you're tipping these days, which I love.
Oh, well, it's more the prices that shocked me, even when you said with Code Black, obviously, you know,
You need to wake up early on Wednesday, Dan, then.
Well, I do my own prices, have a first assessment of them on a Tuesday night, when the fields come out, and I had Code Black $1.90, so pretty odd wasn't there to jump on the prices when they first come out, Adam, but nonetheless, I think he's the other one that I would be thinking is the best of the night, Code Black.
Okay, before we have a chat to Gary Hall Jr. about Chicago Bulls chances in Friday night's WA Pacing Cup, Adam Hamilton Saturday night at Albion Park. There's a couple of features there, including, of course, the Queensland Cup. And you've got Colt 31 at $1.90, Cruisers at $3.10, and then you go out to a horse like One Change at 350. Now, if you forget about Cruz's efforts here in Victoria when he was woeful, basically, and you go back to his Queensland form when he led and Colt 31 couldn't beat him, that price at $4 was a pretty good price. Or do you think Colt 31 now is just in a different frame of mind, in different form at the moment, especially after his last start effort?
Yeah, career best winning last week, wasn't it? Arguably flattered by Turn It Up, just a touch. Turn It Up obviously just didn't go as well as he did the previous run. But you've still got to sit parked and go the time he did. I still think Cruz is the horse to beat. I rang Luke McCarthy early in the week just to get an update on the team that were going to Queensland. The first horse he talked about and really bordering on raved about was Cruz. His comment was, "I don't think Craig and I have ever had this horse going better." He said he just wasn't quite right in Melbourne. He's come back. He's absolutely flying. His work at home's outstanding. He's won 5 of 8 at Albion Park. He's won 4 of his last 5 around the track. He's almost a certain leader. And, you know, it doesn't surprise me he's been $5 into 310. I think you can almost assume if he leads, he'll go close to a track record, and that just makes it so hard for the rest. Mm. One Change is interesting because if he ends up 1-1, he's got a terrific chance. But, you know, if he ends up anywhere else bar that, he's probably going to struggle, and Colt 31 might have to sit parked again. So, yeah, I think Cruz will continue to tighten even from the 310, Gareth.
Just quickly, I can't believe the price in one of the other feature races for Balraj in that 4-year-old race. Like, he's got more chance of getting around that track than, I don't know, Fremantle winning the premiership next year.
Yeah,
or...
That logically, yes, when you see that he has struggled a bit around the bend at an angle, and he had those issues at Melton. But again, I'm only passing this on to the listeners. Luke McCarthy said, we've formally put in a gear change for him. We've done a lot of work. He is a work in progress. We've straightened him up. He said, I'm extremely confident he'll be very tractable, and he'll be winning at Albion Park on Saturday night. And he said, then we'll go straight into the Blacks of Fate. So I'm letting him know they've made a gear change. And from Luke himself, he said, we've straightened this horse up. You'll see the best of Balraj this week.
All right, then. I'll believe it when I see that. But you know, you have to take Luke's advice on board because he knows what he's doing, really. Pacing Cup, Chicago Bull. He's drawn barrier number 7, Dan Malecki. Do you think it's still his race to lose?
Well, Ocean Ridge is out now, so he's into gate number 6 here. Absolutely, Gareth, I think so. With due respect to the opposition, you've got a gladiator like Vampiro on the race as well, and Volt and Tin. Jack Farthing's the interesting runner, isn't it, from barrier number 1.
Well, he's got all that gate speed, Dan, hasn't he?
Yeah. And clearly he's a much better horse in front. I mean, he's chased okay from softer runs. But he might be the fly in the ointment to Chicago Bull. I think because he's such a good horse in front, he wouldn't want to relinquish that position. But at 2,900, Vampiro might have a say in it early.
I've sat Gary Hall Senior. Junior. I've had a gutful of him. So I've got the master on the legend. He'll be looking for his 12th WA Pacing Cup on Friday night in Gary Hall Senior. G'day, Gary. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, g'day, Gareth. How are you?
You're with Gareth Hall, Dan Malecki and Adam Hamilton. How is your little star?
First of all, how you going, Dan? How you going, Adam?
Yeah, good, and Gareth.
The little star, as good as I can get him.
He's a little star. I mentioned, it might have been the day after we talked to you. He's an equine gladiator, isn't he? I mean, when the horses go to war, I couldn't think of a horse I'd want to be associated with more than a Chicago Bull at any trip. What's he like in between races? Because you've backed him up a lot. You gave him another run last week. Would he have had an easy week on the track before last week's run to just sort of tick him over?
He had a bit of a hit out Wednesday. He didn't do much, but he ran home pretty quick and he did it real sharp, so we're real happy with him. He doesn't do a lot during the week. He's a bit laid back and he's pretty lazy, a bit like Junior.
How do you see this race being run? I know you've got all the versatility. It's an okay draw, but it's not a great draw, is it? But draws aren't the absolute be all and end all for him. Do you suspect that you'll have to sit Park to win it?
I do, but I don't know whether it's a given. Bondi was making sort of overtures to me at the barrier draw meeting that we've got you surrounded, so that's a bit daunting sort of thing. I'd say that the Breeze isn't going to be there easy. That's the problem, because he was sort of criticising Shockwave for handing over when he did to us. He said he should have kept us posted, but don't think they would have done either of us any good. But I don't know what's going to happen. I think the one will probably try and leave, and I don't know whether it'll try and hold out both of his. I'm sure both of his will be doing a bit of work early going forward, and it'll make the pace early for Bully, and that's good. And what I'd really love to see is a two-run race and Bully not have to be the one that does all the work, and he can sit back and come, turning in for the bell or something and do that. And I reckon he's quite capable of doing that as well.
Every pacing cut that I've seen, Senior, there's always drama, and there's mid-race pace, or there's pace from the outset, and there's always a horse that's swooping home out wide, and you know that better than anyone with My Hard Copy doing it a couple of times. And Quinny, of course.
And Quinny, yeah, of course. Yeah, no, obviously for the race's sake, it's given it a lot more interest than Bully drawn there. If you'd have drawn straight, to get straight on the bunny, you probably would have just sauntered around one, but... I think there's going to be a fair bit on early, and I think Chicago Bull's capable of even just sliding back and not even worrying about staying in front of the Perfect Major. He can go back, and if Perfect Major wants to go forward and do work, or, Bully might be able to follow him late, or, Bully might be the first to go coming in for the bell. I'm not too sure, but Junior's pretty good at judging pace, and... If the pace is too hard, I'm pretty sure he'll be back near the rear. It's not set in stone for me that he's going to be the one in the Breeze outside of Jack Farthing. And that might not be the best place to be either, because Jack Farthing can fire up and might run along a bit,
It's hard to lead all the way at 2,900, particularly when you've got some really fast horses on the front line. So if that is going to be the case, I would imagine... they're going to be a lot more worried about you than you will be of them. They'll all be trying to either get you back or be flushed out by you, if indeed you come from back in the field. But that means it'll be a great race to watch, Senior.
Yeah, Dan, I think the Pacing Cup's always been a great race to watch. My memories of it have always been that it's been on from the start, and it's always been a great race to watch. And it's pretty hard to determine what's actually going to happen, and the speed maps to work out, particularly now. Jimmy Johnson's gone in there as well, and he's a quick beginner. Vampiro's a quick beginner. Bondi's saying that Mighty Conqueror's going to try and lead. The one, he's going to try and lead. He will lead because he's very fast. So it could be on early, but then when you think that's going to happen, all of a sudden nothing like that pans out and they all drop anchor and... then Bully will probably have to go around to the Breeze like he always does. But I'd just love to see him in a race where he could, where they all go hard and he could just show how good he is coming from behind like he did in the WA Derby.
And that might play to one of the next two questions I've got for you. The first one is, when I said on in the gig that when he first turned up at your place, you thought they'd sent the wrong horse because he was that small. I need you to confirm or deny that. People think I'm making that story up. And then the second part is the Hunter Cup. You can't duck and dive this question. We need to know when you're going to give a definite yes or no about it. But firstly, starting with when he turned up, did you honestly think they'd sent a pit pony instead of a racehorse?
Well, they got him off the float, and I thought they got the wrong horse off because I thought it was a weanling. honestly, that's the truth. He's that small. A normal head collar doesn't fit him. It'll fall off him. The photographers came out this morning to take photos, and both Junior and I tower over him, and we're not really giants, are we, sort of thing. And, you don't look up to Bully, you look down to him, sort of thing. And, it was very, I couldn't believe it, actually, when I got him. He was that small.
And now, what about the handicap? When is D-Day on a decision? I mean,
all right, yes, I'll come. Got a handicap out of
about time, senior.
the only thing that'll stop me is if Bully's not right, or the restrictions don't allow us to come. But I'd love to come to the handicap with him. You know. Not to prove that he's the best horse in Australia, because I don't think that's the case. I think that mantle's still up for grabs, I think, in the next 6 months. But, you know, like, and he hasn't got much chance to do that sort of thing anymore. He's rising eight, and this will be probably, you know, towards the end of his career. So I'd love to come over. I haven't won a handicap. I've been unlucky in a couple, and it's a race I'd love to win. It's always been one of the greatest races on the Australian harness racing calendar that I can think of. So I'd love to come over. At this stage, I'm 100% committed to come.
All right, then. That's great news, senior. Adam, we'll pick you up in a limousine there from the airport when you arrive. The last one before we let you go, because we've got about a minute before our next commitment. Have you got a special for us on Friday night for us punters? And when you were punting yourself and trying to learn how to train, did you ever think that you would be training... Well, if Chicago Bull wins on Friday night, that will be your 12th WA Pacing Cup.
Not for a minute, Gaz. I didn't. I still pinch myself. Can't believe it.
Yeah.
I'm glad Junior started driving, because I think I had about 8 drives in the Pacing Cup. Probably should have won another 3, but he's sort of been instrumental in it as well. And no, I didn't think I'd get to that level ever in my life. But I'm very happy with how things are going.
Win a Friday night, please.
Okay. Jumping Jack Mack in the 2-year-old race.
All right, then. Great to see that you're over your gout as well and ready to go on Friday night. The mail is seen. It's always a pleasure. You're a Hall of Famer, a champion of the game, and can't wait to see the little champ go around on Friday night.
Thanks, guys. Thank you very much.
Rob Orber joins Green Light On with his truck selections, presented by the Victorian Harness Racing Club. The new era has begun.
He's a busy man. He's calling at Charlton as well. The first race not far away, so we won't keep him long. Rob, good afternoon to you. Who do you like over
the
weekend?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Look, I'm pretty keen on Maestro Bellini, race 9, number 4 at Melton on Saturday night. I think he gets into the right race here. He had that first up race in Victoria back here in Victoria at Mildura and took on some pretty good horses. He gets into a very winnable race, I feel, on Saturday night. So I'm going to make him the best. Race 9, number 4, Maestro Bellini. Also tonight, Gareth, at Shepparton, the Victorian Harness Racing Club Super Bonus Meeting kicks off. We've had an amazing response from all trainers and owners for this meeting. We're looking forward to that program, and we're giving away $1,500 to every winner that's a member of the club there tonight, as well as $500 to the winning trainer that are members of the Victorian Harness Racing Club. So it's going to be a big night at Shepparton. We wish everyone all the very best of luck, and the Victorian Harness Racing Club Caduceus is sponsoring the big race at Melton on Saturday night. Looks to be a cracking field, and I'm a little bit like Dan Malecki. I think Code Black should be a lot shorter than what he opened up, and I think he'll win on Saturday night.
Do you have a special at Charlton this afternoon? Michael Bellman was pretty keen on Gracie's Cullen going around a little later on from barrier number 1.
Well, I'm hoping to call the first winner Polar Lights, Gareth. I actually own and bred this horse,
right,
so we're hoping that she can start the day off well, but she's very short. That worries me a little bit, and we've got a big team in at Shepparton tonight as well, so we've got our fingers crossed for our own team, but hopefully Polar Lights can win the first here.
Good on you, Robbie. You can call, own and breed. That'll be... Oh, Dan's probably done that a few times, but we wish you the best of luck.
Thanks, mate.
There's Robbie Orr. But Dan, I've got some news for you. Jason Lee just texted me back about why he chose Always Ready there on Saturday night in the feature trot. He says, left it up to the team who I drove. I wasn't worried either way. If I really had to pick, I would have probably have gone Dance Craze, but left the bull in their court. I could have picked either. The horse that I drive is a new kid on the block and has all of the weapons to be a top liner. So there you go. That's
I think
Jason
it's
Lee.
The coin toss that you'd be happy to lose out on.
We'll bowl on a green wicket. Good on you, Dan. Thanks for your time, mate.
Thanks, Gareth.
Sensational, Adam. We'll catch up with you during the week.
Yeah, terrific segment, guys. Good to update so many elements of the sport, and always fun talking to Gary Hall Sr., isn't it?
Yeah.
He never fails to deliver a laugh.
No, he's a legend. Thanks, Adam. Thanks, Dan. There's Dan Malecki and Adam Hamilton, and that is Green Light On for this Thursday, December 3.